Welcome to Scrubland Presents, a Deck Builder's Wasteland. Here we are again, me and Daniel Sale. This is Chris Burrows.
Hey there.
Tonight we're going to talk about Mythic Conscription. This is the next episode. I think you just took my paper.
Oh, no. Okay, you can have your paper back because we are talking about Josh Utter Layton's first place Mythic Conscription deck from U.S. Nationals.
Yeah, Raptor is amazing. Actually, from what people have said in the Channel Fireball Circle, what they say about him is they're always surprised that he's not the one that's doing better than they are.
Well, and now he is.
And now he is. So, yeah, pretty good.
I mean, there were two other Channel Fireballers in that top eight that didn't make the Nats team.
And he took it down, man.
Which they're all having a pity party about. But, I mean, these guys put up consistent results, and we just watched his explanation on a little bit, read a tournament report, and he said that he was the only one that played this specific configuration
right
on the deck. So let's go ahead and tell you about what's in it.
Personally, I feel like it's the most streamlined version like you could possibly get. It's basically just the four of deck. Like, all of the core pieces are four ofs.
And then there's like the four of deck.
Yeah. So we have four birds, four hierarch, four Lotus Cobra, four Knight of the Reliquary. I almost said two. Four Sovereigns of Lost Lara, four Mana Leak, three Elspeth Knight Errant, four Jace the Mind Sculptor, two Explore, two Eldrazi Conscription. Now, the deck can be split up instead of into creatures, instance planeswalkers, and blah, blah, blah. You can cut it into Mana Accelerants, a mid game, and a combo kill. Your combo kill package.
Combo pieces, planeswalkers, acceleration. Yeah. Done. That's the three parts of this deck.
Well, I wouldn't say planeswalkers. I'd say mid-game. I'd say mid-game in general.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
You can also play Neither Reliquary, which sets up the combo kill a little better. You can also play...
He's also just a beater.
He is. He is pretty sick.
This deck plays...
But you never get to attack with him unless you have to.
This deck plays eight fetch lands. It plays seven man lands.
Yeah.
It also plays one Sajiri step as... it's Knight of the Reliquary tutor target. And then out of the board, you have one Bajuka Bog.
This is true.
For... the graveyard decks that have been popping up every once in a while.
Right. You can also just kill Vengevines if you're lucky, but...
I've been normally just boarding out the one step for the one bog when it's applicable, just because it doesn't mess the curve up at all.
I don't personally like that. I'd rather board out a man land.
I mean...
Personally. I'd rather board out a Stirring Wildwood.
Probably also fine. Like, Cullinate is clearly the better one, so... And I've killed people with the Cullinate, like, in pretty comical fashion, like they're like whatever doing. Okay, and maybe we should go back to how this deck kills people.
Yes.
Before I get too far into it,
the reason I call it a combo kill, two card combo, Sovereigns of Lost Lara is a 4/5 with Exalted that also has an Exalted themed ability. He's a 6 casting cost guy. What happens is he comes into play, and then you attack with one creature, and it says if one creature is attacking, then you may search out any enchantment from your deck and put it into play attached to the creature. You don't even have to play it. It goes puts it into play.
So we went through Standard and said, what's the most busted enchantment we can play?
Right, and actually, you know what's funny is before this version of Mythic ever came out, it used to be Gigantiform. People played this deck with Gigantiform before someone actually decided that Eldrazi Conscription was just going to wreck the format.
Well, I mean, I think that as soon as Eldrazi... Like, I don't think people were making conscious decisions to play an inferior 5-mana enchantment versus this thing that is plus...
Right.
Okay, the enchantment itself gives the creature plus 10, trample, and Annihilator 2.
Which is irrelevant most of the time, but sometimes you get to swing with it,
well,
blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so
the
reason the Annihilator doesn't trigger is because Sovereigns of Lara puts the enchantment straight in.
Yes.
And you miss the attack trigger
if it's
for
already
Annihilator.
If it's the thing that puts it into play is the attack trigger, and then once it is in play, the attack trigger already happened.
Right.
So you don't get an Annihilator.
However... You do, every once in a while, end up straight casting this 8-mana spell.
Those are the fun games.
I mean, in my opinion. Because you play two of them. And the reason you play two is because...
You can straight up accelerate into an Eldrazi Conscription, attach it to whatever the heck you... Most of the time it is a Lotus Cobra, mind you. But if you stick it on a Lotus Cobra and swing for, I guess it's 12, 11... with Annihilator 2 and Trample, that ends games just as well.
It's really good. You have to play two because sometimes you draw one and you can't search it out of your hand. So you just kind of go.
Actually,
search the other one out.
Well, okay, let me say I think the reason I wouldn't say that's a concession to why we play two. I believe that's a concession to why Jason the Mind Sculptor is in the deck.
Also true. Yeah.
Yeah. Cuz you can brainstorm it away.
And that's very, very relevant. I like the fact that you can cast it. There are too many decks where you remember there was an extended deck that played Solitary Confinement and I'm sorry, it was the Enduring Ideal deck.
Yes.
And you Seething Song and Ritualed into Enduring Ideal, which continuously put enchantments into play, but there were so many spells in the deck that you just could not play.
Right.
They just it had Form of the Dragon and no red mana.
Right.
It was crazy stuff like that. And the way the deck worked, it was fine, but sometimes it could turn into some awkward situations where you weren't able to cast it.
Right, this is your combo pieces could never get played.
So even the combo pieces in this deck are not dead.
Yes,
which is really nice.
It's amazing. It's like combo. It's like some kind of weird hybrid of every awesome piece of each archetype, combo, control, and aggro. Like, you've got your beatdown turns. You've got your beatdown games where you're just literally killing people. And then you've got your control games, because you got mana leak in the deck. You're landing a threat and then protecting it with your mana leaks and then riding it to victory, or landing a planeswalker and just Elspeth's just gonna jump Cobra six times and you die. Four times.
Really cool stuff.
Pretty sick.
So part of the reason this deck's super resilient, resolving a Sovereigns of Alara, this deck can hit 8 mana, so you can actually just play your Sovereigns and protect it with a mana leak.
It usually happens on turn 4 or 5, but it can happen easily.
Like if you're into turn 5, you normally have that much mana.
Yes.
And this is enabled by Cobras and Birds.
Yeah. When you're playing 14 Accelerants.
The fastest this deck can go, turn 3.
Turn 3, yes.
Turn 3 kills.
Now, that's the epitome of the best... the most crazy hand where your opponent is tapping out every turn too, because a lot of time sometimes you really just want to go for it. Sometimes you have to realize that it's the time to flip the switch. I'm gonna go turn one birds, turn two Cobra plus a land plus birds, turn three fetch land Sovereigns, swing for 13. Or if you're really lucky, both of those birds in that scenario are Hierarchs and you swing it for 15 on turn three.
Yes. Yeah. And in that situation, we call it the turn 3 kill. If you win the die roll, you're almost assuredly going to win.
There's
because
no
at that point,
they have to deal with the creature with the conscription and the Sovereigns.
There is a way you can lose. If you lose the die roll, you're on the draw. Your opponent can be blue-white control, and they can Wrath you. And against a Wrath of God, it does clear a lot of your board.
Right.
And you normally only have one or maybe two cards in your hand, which... sometimes you've literally exhausted all your resources, and other times you're able to recover from that. This deck also plays a lot of man lands, so normally they've been hit once for 12 or for 15, so a Celestial Cullinate can just play cleanup.
Right.
And they're tapped out, they just Wrath of God at you. So
yep.
The deck just itself, it has its nuts draw, and its nuts draw can just absolutely dominate.
Smash.
And that is through no resistance, where your opponent normally has a Lightning Bolt or a Terminate or something, because they're not just going to sit there and let you do whatever.
But in the ideal situation, they've kept a slow hand and you are just crushing them. Now, the thing is, this deck is really well positioned, because even though we just listed a whole bunch of cards that, slow us down if we're playing this deck, and let's call it we are looking at this deck. We want to play this deck. We are now part of this deck. If we see a lot of Lightning Bolts on the other side of the table, that's a concession in the metagame to how good this deck is. At the time, when this came out, it was so well positioned, because no one wanted to play Lightning Bolt because no one felt that it was good enough. No, not a lot of people played Wrath of God because blue-white was falling out of favor, and it was... it's not even that good against Jund, so...
People stopped playing Lightning Bolt when blue-white tap-out control got really good. That was what stopped people from playing it, and people went to high casting cost stuff because the format put itself in this weird spot. M11's come out, and this deck doesn't play any M11 cards, is that correct? It plays Jace's Ingenuity in the board, but the reason that this deck got better is because the format around it changed. And, oh, I'm sorry, Mana Leak's in M11, duh.
Yeah.
The format around it changed a lot, though, where most of this deck existed before. You could, like Chris said, you could play the Sovereign's Eldrazi conscription before, but the deck looked a little bit different because it didn't have this mana leak package. And by package, I mean the four mana leaks.
The four mana leaks. And that's literally it.
So yeah. Instead, what this deck was doing before, like, it's known as Mythic because it just played all the Mythic cards. Mm-hmm. And it was using things like Vengevine and things like Ranger of Eos and... I don't know. Like, sometimes it was like Rafik and Finest Hour, which was a much older version.
It was
but
like Baneslayer, six Planeswalkers, and Rafik the Many, Finest Hour, and a whole bunch of just all, like, oh yeah, and a whole bunch of regular rares, birds,
and right.
Pirates,
and Cobra, but like, whatever. I mean, this is the kind of deck that does not come with a cheap price tag. Literally,
no.
Literally, almost every card in this deck is a rare.
Yeah,
and that's why it gets its name, Mythic Conscription, right. Because. It's an expensive deck to play. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys about some of the hands that we just drew this up on Magic Online a minute ago.
We were just looking at some stuff that we wanted to talk about for the podcast. And what we mentioned was Josh Utterleighton himself, he said to us, or not to us, I wish he'd said it
he
to us.
He said it straight to us.
Straight to us. That'd be so cool.
Straight to us on the internet. Through YouTube.
Through YouTube. What he said about the deck was you cannot keep hands that you don't have some kind of acceleration. And there are some really trap hands because, you know, let's think about it. Knight of the Reliquary, that could very well be acceleration. Like,
it's mostly a Llanowar Elf. It is a Llanowar Elf in almost every sense unless you have Lotus Cobra on the table.
Knight of the Reliquary?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. It's just like a big fat Llanowar Elf.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, you see him, and he doesn't count as acceleration. He's not one of those that you can count. You don't want to start playing on turn three with this deck. If you start playing on turn three, you've already lost.
So let me go ahead and give you a hand that is a perfect example of a trap hand.
Yeah. This is pretty good.
This hand looks perfectly fine, but it does not, especially game one before you've boarded and you don't know what your opponent's doing, this hand doesn't perform what your deck wants to do in any way.
Right.
This hand is Verdant Catacombs, Island Forest, so you don't have any white mana for starts, which is a little bit rough, but not a breaker.
Since
because you have Birds and Cobra and Hierarch, which
yeah.
are supposed to get you all your colors.
Right.
Because they all produce those colors.
Exactly.
However, the rest of this hand is a Knight of the Reliquary, a Jace the Mind Sculptor, an Elspeth Knight Errant, and a Sovereigns of Alara.
Right.
So you have all very good cards in your hand. It's a 7-carder, and even though you don't have white mana, you have two draw phases to get there. You should hit some land, and you'll be able to play.
And you have 11 sources of white mana you can draw into.
Right. Like, the deck itself just should lend itself to giving you those sources, and you'll play all your stuff on time. And this isn't necessarily a terrible hand.
Right.
You could keep it.
Play everything out, like, curved properly. But you would never win.
Right. You would never win. And what you do instead is mulligan mm-hmm. into a six that this was our specific mulligan, which we ended up keeping and
right.
winning this game. And this is going to sound like a really risky keep, but this is what we kept was Birds of Paradise and Lotus Cobra, and then Forest, Misty Rainforest, Stirring Wildwood, and Sajiri Step.
Yep. And that's an absolute snap keep.
Which it's four mana sources. It's all mana sources.
Right.
It's two creatures and nothing.
And the reason that it's a snap keep is because you're going this is an incredibly threat dense deck. You're going to draw some kind of threat. Even if you just draw the mana leaks and the explorers, you're still well set up. What ended up happening was we used our man land to beat in with the Cobra for one turn. So that was like turn four.
Got in for two, got in for five.
And no, it was turn three, actually, because
okay.
you had a fetch land.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Yep.
And we ended up, we got in for five, and then he Goblin Ruin Blastered
the Stirring Wildwood.
The Stirring Wildwood. And then we ended up fetching plus another fetch because we drew a Sovereign's of Lost Alara off the top and hit him for 15.
Just straight
up. 14, sorry.
If you're looking for quick math, this is something that I deduced a long time ago, which as a mental calculation, if you have a Cobra on the board and you draw a fetch land, it's three.
Yeah.
Don't hurt your brain.
Right.
It's three. It's three mana of pretty much any color you could want.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, the draw got a little bit lucky and it could have not gone anywhere. And that's the risk you take with this deck is that sometimes they have enough answers that they stop you, but we didn't get stopped
right.
Like because Sovereigns of Alara, it the the ability doesn't, it's the exalted benefit, which is it happens right away. There's no summoning sickness. There's no anything.
Yep.
It just, as soon as it's in play, if they can't answer it by your attack phase, they're going to be dead.
Yep.
And he was like, okay, like
he just snap conceded to that.
He's like, all right, I can't beat that. Like, yep. I did whatever he, I don't know. I think he did like next to nothing also. Like, we were pretty unmolested in that game.
Yeah.
But let me give you another hand that's just much better, which is a good seven.
Yeah.
Which this was Forest, Plains, Celestial Colonnade, Birds of Paradise, Knight of the Reliquary, Jace, and Baneslayer. Which this hand doesn't have any of the combo elements.
Right.
But it also has,
this is a perfect grind them out, solid, like run of the mill average hand.
Right.
It's not something you're really excited to keep. It's not something that you're happy and, oh my god, I'm gonna like flip out over this hand. It's like you're not jumping up and down, but you're going to keep it, and you're probably gonna have the resources to win that game.
Mostly, it's because you have a Jace the Mind Sculptor in this hand, and that should, like, regardless of what else kind of happens, that guy pulls you out of a lot of situations. I should also mention, before you guys start scratching your head too much, the version that we've been playing cut two of the Planeswalkers to play two main deck Baneslayer Angels.
This is true, yes.
Which I personally would advocate some Baneslayer Angels back in the main deck, just because they pull you out of a lot of situations, and for some big tournaments that especially involve a lot of Swiss rounds,
yeah,
you need more multi-purpose answers. Utter Leighton played a very streamlined version because he only had to play half the tournament as a constructed tournament.
Right, he knew exactly what he was getting into with his metagame.
And, well, just saying, like, you can run real hot if you have to run less rounds of standard.
That's true.
But if you're going to a very long Swiss tournament of just constructed rounds, it can be a lot harder to...
Right, you have to have
to run hot every single round.
And yeah, also, you also have to run into some matchups you know how to play, and every once in a while, you're just not going to see that. And Baneslayer Angel is just a ubiquitously good card. You're just going to be able to slap it down, and it's just going to beat a lot of things.
It pulls you out against Jund every time.
Every time.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how many times I've... Like, it's the same thing like when you're Fauna Shamaning, and you're like, man, what do I even get here?
Yeah.
And you're just like, how about this Baneslayer Angel?
Yeah.
I mean,
I just do that.
Like, I guess if he's got the Terminate, that's good for him. But other than that, it's going to like
wreck
just stop everything.
Yeah.
Like, so,
like I said, I probably wouldn't drop. We dropped one of each Planeswalker, one Jace, one Elspeth. Personally, I'd keep another Elspeth in, because I feel like Elspeth, like, the jump is really important. Either way,
it is.
But between the two, you're gonna...
Your mileage may vary. And at some point, like, card availability may play a key factor.
This is true.
This deck is certainly buildable as long as you have the accelerants.
As long as you've been playing standard for a year.
I mean, yeah. Like, you should have most of this stuff.
Yeah.
If you're any kind of competitive player. How big a part of the metagame do you feel like this deck's going to be in Baltimore?
Huge.
Huge? Really?
Huge.
Okay, so the reason you say huge is just one Nats. And if the... I mentioned this on episode 6. When we looked at the results for the LCQ in Amsterdam, all four of the qualifying decks... Right. I think it was five. I think I misquoted.
Was it five?
But all four of the qualifying decks anyway... This deck.
Yes. Metagame description.
And
yes.
I think they were almost exact. They were exact copies main deck with slight variations in the board.
Right. With, by the way, Jace's Ingenuity, if anyone's wondering, is for the blue-white matchup. I had to look it up myself. Like, I didn't really understand. But apparently it makes sense. I mean, I haven't actually gotten to test that yet. I wish I'd had. But,
you know, it is what it is. The one thing that can wreck this deck, I have to say, out of the board, and some decks are even main decking it, is Cunning Spark Mage. It's the reason why he's so good. It's one of the answers to this deck, and it's the reason why people are starting to main deck him.
And Explore is kind of a concession to that at this point.
Because it's an extra two Cobras at that point. I mean, they fill the same slot, and they're similar. The Linvala, Keeper of Silence, there's four on the board.
That's also for Spark Mage.
If it looks like they're going to bring Spark Mage in, or they have it main deck.
Yeah, you have to bring them in.
Go get the Linvalas out.
Yeah. Like, you have to have four Linvala in your sideboard playing this deck. If you plan to bring this to Baltimore and you decided to skimp on even one Linvala, I would advise against it. You have to see it every game that you're going to play against your opponent. that has any kind of red or any kind of acceleration.
As a quick aside, I think Linval is also going to go up in price. Seeing the some of the spoilers from the new set, I have a feeling like there's a lot of activated abilities that are going to be happening.
This is true.
Even just like the Copper Mirror Cycle.
Yeah.
It just shuts down everything. It shuts down Eldrazi tokens. It shuts down... Like, you can't even tap a Bird of Paradise under a Linvala.
That's right.
Because it doesn't say mana abilities. It does not have that rider on it.
Right.
So, I'd bring it in the mirror match. It's good enough.
Definitely.
Because, in the mirror match, on the play, if you can just land it, their eight of their Bird of Paradises are just chumps.
Yup.
They literally do nothing.
I believe she's legendary, so I think you even need her to fight other Linvalas.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's... You need
quality,
to have her in.
Quality. We're going to say in the mirror match situation, because we're going to say this deck's going to explode in popularity.
Oh, yeah.
How do you board in your four Linvalas?
You don't need the Explorers in the mirror match. They're chaff there. And you don't... I don't know, 100%. I can't tell you 100% for the other two slots.
I know, it's tough. It's real tough, because the deck list is tight.
Yeah.
You could shave some Jace, possibly. He's probably not the best.
I think that's exactly what I was going to go with it.
Chris looked at me like I was crazy when I did this online. I'm in favor of doing something a little bit more risky, which is cutting one of the Eldrazi conscriptions and just going to one.
Yeah. I don't advocate that at all. If you're going to cut all four Jaces, then I would cut one conscription.
You can still be effective with one Eldrazi conscription, because it only takes one to kill him. So if you feel like getting a little bit lucky and not drawing it, because you're getting something quality out of your board,
that's a dice roll I'm not willing to take, though.
Of the time. Again, it's personal preference, because that's the way that some people like to play.
Most definitely.
So this is a deck that how many of this deck are going to top eight in Baltimore?
Ooh, that's rough.
That's a good question, right?
I could call at least four in the top 16.
Four in the top 16?
At least.
I'm going to say eight of the top eight are either Jund or this deck.
I can't say that.
Eight of the top 16.
This has been... Okay, maybe eight of the top 16.
50% of the top 16, Jund and Mythic Conscription.
All right, deal. I would definitely agree with that. The reason that I'm saying I wouldn't say top eight, and I wouldn't say that there's more than four, is because this deck, is now that it's gotten popular, is going to get, you know, hated out in some way, and you don't really want to, you know, like, unless you're a fairly above average player who can, you know, fight through the hate, knows how to play around stuff, and is ready to be vigilant all day for that hate card, I wouldn't recommend taking it at this point. Maybe a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, but now it's starting to get recognized.
This isn't exactly the kind of deck that you can straight shuffle up and play.
Yeah.
You can win some games that way, but once you get later into the tournament, I don't have a lot of faith in your performance, because it does take a fair amount of skill to know what situations you need to play around. I slow rolled mana leaks all day today in playtesting. And
when I first picked up the deck, I said, this thing plays itself. It's amazing. And then there's some situations that you're just like, whoa. And a lot of it has to do with the mulligans, to be honest.
It really does. It's a deck that needs to run a little bit hot, but it also is not in colors that always have to run hot. It's in colors that can play around situations like that. Anyhow, guys, that's going to do it for us.
Most definitely.
We'll definitely see you in Baltimore, and see you guys.